Next Step, Episode 19, October 22nd, 2008. Welcome to the Next Step. Hey, this is Father Voskin, welcoming you back to the Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the NSU's mission, the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and of course is brought to you exclusively by the good folks at the Apostles' Net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. You're back. I'm really glad you are. And I'm really glad that I'm here, too, to spend this little bit of time together on this podcast and talk about some of the important things that are taking place in our world. But if you're living in the Southern California area, where we're at right now, I mean, this is beautiful. We're having some great, great, beautiful days, some clear skies and the wind blowing kind of makes up for the other 363 days that we have to put up with all that dirt and pollution. But this is fantastic. But wherever you are, I hope you're sitting back right now and taking some time to... Actually, I shouldn't say that, because recently we've been producing these on CD, so I understand there's a good number of people listening to these podcasts in their car, so do not sit back and just fall asleep. Take the time now to relax, maybe, and kind of put the cares away and listen in on some important stuff that's going on about your relationships, about the love that you have in your heart, and most importantly, about the love that God has towards you. And that's what we're all about over here on this Next Step. It's really putting to practical applications some of the most ancient teachings of the Christian church. You know, you look at Jesus as the Prince of Peace, and we have a fun time saying this at Christmas time, and we have beautiful, beautiful Christmas carols. We sit around and we have nativity scenes and little baby Jesuses. You know, Jesus is all about peace. And peace has to begin someplace. Certainly in this world, it is a necessary element for our survival. And strangely enough, a group of people called Armenians with very little resources on an obscure piece of land linking the east and west between Asia and Europe, where every kind of barbarian has stomped through, raped, and pillaged these people. These people have survived without the resources, without the guns, and they've done it incredibly because of something what we call their faith. And that faith is what we talk about over here, Armenian Orthodoxy. It's not about big churches. It's not about church people, clergy. It's about a very basic faith in the Prince of Peace. Do you want to find peace in your life? Of course you do. I mean, we're all programmed to search for that peace. We all want to find that equilibrium in our lives. But what's special about finding peace in yourself is that it is not just limited to you. It no longer becomes yours. That peace transcends you, and you start effectuating peace for your community, for your loved ones, for your family, to have those beautiful relationships with your loved ones. And once you go on to the community, then you're talking about bringing peace, of course, to the world. And isn't that what we're all about? Isn't that what we strive for? I mean, especially today, when you hear campaigns taking place between Obama and McCain and issues of Iraq and Iran, and we, of course, are sensitive to the issues taking place in Darfur, and you say, why can't people just strive for peace? It's just as easy and probably more cost-effective to look for peace than it is to look for wars and look for conflicts. But somehow we've convinced ourselves that, yes, war is inevitable. We have to have wars. We don't. We do not need wars. But before you talk about wars, let's talk about the conflicts that we have with one another. We don't have to have disagreements with ourselves, with one another, with especially our loved ones, especially those people that mean the most to us. We need to find those resolutions. We need to find peace. And it begins by finding peace first and foremost in our hearts. We're going to be looking at a passage today from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, right around the verses 17 and so on. We'll look at that in a few minutes because it talks about mission. It talks about what's important in your life and how you really have to understand Christ's mission to understand what you can achieve in this lifetime. And in a few minutes, we will also look at some of the campaigning that's going on. For us in America, it's heating up. We've got about a couple weeks before Election Day. And I know those of you listening from abroad, from the different countries, I know there's been a lot of sentiment about or concern about which way America's going. And I think once I heard this expression, if America sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. And I don't know if it's that extensive right now, but I do know that everything is so intertwined in this global economy and with globalization the way it is, that we really have to wonder what's happening in other parts of the world and really be concerned about the rest of the world for us to find that peace within ourselves as well. But we're going to start off with the passage that comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4.
I listen to the wind of my soul. Where I'll end up, well, I think only God really knows. I've sat upon the setting sun, but never, 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 never. I never wanted water once. And never, never, never.
Now this passage that we're going to be looking at, it comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. But I want to share with you some background information because it is a passage that has been instrumental in my life, in my career as a priest of the Armenian Church of Orthodoxy. And it is something that I want to share with you because I think that it is very profound in its message of what our mission is as a church collectively and as Christians individually, what our mission is in the world. And this passage in Luke happens to be the passage that is read in the Armenian Church on this particular Sunday. I believe it's the sixth Sunday of the Feast of the Cross. And as I get older, I realize that less and less things happen because of coincidence. But probably it didn't strike me 26 years ago when my first Divine Liturgy, or Badarak, was celebrated on this particular Sunday. And this was the lectionary reading for that Sunday. So my first sermon happened to be on this one passage. But as the years went on, I realized that the message in this passage, what it had to say, is so much bigger than just a mere Sunday. It is the cornerstone, the stepping stone. It is the road for the Christian. And the background to it comes to us from the story of Jesus' baptism. As you know, he began his ministry in this world at his baptism. Up until age 30, he had a life within his community, and certainly there's a lot of apocryphal writing about those years, but very little in the canonical gospels about those years. But at age 30, he arrives at the River Jordan and is baptized by St. John the Baptist. And after his baptism, now listen to this, right afterwards, he is tempted by the evil, by Satan himself. And he's taken into the wilderness and he is tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And it culminates with those three big temptations where evil comes up to him and talks to him and says, you know, change these stones into bread. And Jesus responds, man cannot live by bread alone. And we've heard these passages that, you know, Satan says, go ahead and worship me. And he says, you shall only worship the Lord your God. Or Satan says, go ahead and everything that you have, look at this Jerusalem, throw yourselves down and immediately God will come and save you. And he says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And each of these answers becomes an answer for us when we are tempted, not by Satan as some kind of personified evil, but by the evil that is all around us, that is telling us that, look, what life is an accumulation of your wealth, of all the goods that you have. Build bigger barns, build bigger storehouses, get more, because the more you have, he who dies with the most toys is the winner in the end. And what we're being told constantly through the scriptures, specifically in this instant, is no. And if you don't believe Jesus, okay, forget about it. Open up the newspaper today. 2008 years after Jesus, open up the newspaper. What's lasted? The 401s are gone. Your retirement accounts, where are they? We have to bail them out. What does that tell you? $700 billion in America is being spent to jumpstart the economy again. I mean, economies are here today, gone tomorrow, but your soul is forever. Your soul lasts forever. And that's the condition. That's what Jesus wants. That's what he's telling you. That soul can flourish. It can have a beautiful life. And it's not with what's in your pocket, but what's in your heart. And so, in this passage, after Jesus is tempted by Satan, Satan realizes that he can't win against him. And the passage that we're going to study right now begins at that point. Jesus comes out of the desert, and the first place he goes to is the church. Inside of that synagogue, he opens up the scriptures, and he reads a passage from the book of Isaiah. Now, look at the similarities. In the Armenian church, the priest begins his ministry at ordination, at his baptism, where he receives a new name, where he receives the consecration of the Holy Spirit. And just like Jesus for 40 days, the priest is removed from life for a period of 40 days and 40 nights in what's called his time of seclusion, to reflect, to be tempted in a sense, and to really give it contemplation and thought. And after 40 days, he comes into the church to celebrate his first liturgy. And as I told you, I don't think that there are coincidences. And certainly when I got to that first divine liturgy, I don't believe that it was just by chance that the divine liturgy for me was set up to be on that particular Sunday. Because when I opened the scriptures, this was the passage 26 years ago at my first liturgy. At the beginning of my ministry. And here I am, a young priest, looking at the scriptures and reading that my boss, that the reason why I am a priest, began his ministry with these same words. It says in the Gospel of Luke, it says, after the temptations, the devil departed, biding his time. Then Jesus, armed with the power of the Spirit, he is armed now, fully loaded. Remember what we were talking about a few minutes ago. Do you want peace? It's not going to be armed with weapons of mass destruction. It's not going to be with A-bombs. It's not going to be with artillery. It's going to be armed with the Spirit. He returns into Galilee. And the reports about him spread through the whole country. And he taught in their synagogues, and all men sang of his praise. And so Jesus came into Nazareth, where he was brought up. And he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as he regularly did. He stood up to read the lesson, and he was handed the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has sent me to announce good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the broken victims go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then it says, Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And all the eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him. And then Jesus began to speak. He said, "Today." You got that? Not yesterday. Not in your past. Not tomorrow. Not it's going to happen. Not at the end of time. Not when they tell you that who's left or what's left or left behind. Not at a rapture time. But what's this word here? Holy moly. Look at that. It's today. Jesus says, "Today, in your very hearing, this text has come true." This is what Armenian Orthodoxy is all about. It's not about some future time. It's about right now, living your potential, living out that love and living out that peace and being able to live out the Christian life, not in some time to come, but in the here and now. And Jesus is saying it in no uncertain terms. Today, these scriptures have been fulfilled. And look at, what are those scriptures? It's exactly the mission that he had in front of him. And it becomes the mission for each and every one of us. Let's look at each passage separately. Now, this is from Luke chapter 4. Remember, this is him quoting a passage from Isaiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." What is an anointing? It is that confirmation. It is the seal of the Holy Spirit. It is the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the individual, just like the priest who has been sealed with the Holy Muron, with the Holy Spirit. He says, "He has sent me to announce good news to the poor." Well, you say, "Well, that's nice. There's a lot of poor people. So why did Jesus, why should I care about that? I'm not poor." Well, certainly I could always want a little bit more money, but I'm not poor. I mean, let him go and talk, or let's go and give this message to those people out on Skid Row, or let's go and talk to those poor people in Africa and in the third world countries, because certainly I'm not poor. I've got 3 meals a day. I've got a car in my garage. In fact, I'm looking at getting my third car, and I like my house, and you know what? Things are a little bit tight right now, but you know, maybe this is an opportunity to grab some real estate and grab some stocks. Maybe this is the opportunity to make some more money. But certainly Jesus isn't talking to me because I am not poor. And isn't that what we really think? That when we talk about the poor, it's everybody except us. I mean, certainly we all want more, but we don't consider ourselves poor. And what is Jesus talking about? He says, "I've came to give good news to the poor." You know who the poor people are? Not people only in Africa. Not in the third world. Not in Armenia. Not around you on Skid Row. It's you and me. It's people who have all of the luxuries of life and still want more. That is poorness. That is extreme poverty. Because we look inside of our pockets and we see money there, but our hearts are empty. Look around you today. Some of the richest people on the world, what are they doing? They're searching for more, something that means something in their lives. They're looking, they're trying, they're experimenting. What do you think drugs are all about? Why do you think somebody would take drugs? It's an escape. Why would you escape if you have all that money? If money is that great, if these mansions and houses and these cars are so great, why would you escape? What's there to escape? Because they're empty promises. They don't have much of anything going for them. I think I shared with you once before this story about one of my parishioners who had made it in Silicon Valley. He was just had really done well for himself. You know, in the 90s, I was serving in San Jose area at the St. Andrew Armenian Church over there. And Silicon Valley had its boom. And you got to see some people really went with some venture capital money. And they made it big. And one of my parishioners every summer would go down to the Mexican villages and hang out. And one day when I asked him about that, those trips that he would take twice a year, he said he wouldn't go to Acapulco or go to the Mazatlan, to the clubs or any of the fancy hotels. He would actually go on the beach and live in the villages. And I said, why? You know, I mean, you could definitely afford four-star hotels. You could do whatever you want. And he said, because I grew up in poverty. And he says, you know what? We had peace. We had happiness. We had very little, but we were the happiest people on earth. And I go there on my vacations because with all the wealth that I have, I just don't have that kind of happiness. I sit on the beach and I watch those little kids play with nothing, with balls that are crafted out of small little tin cans and made up little games. They're much happier than anything that I see here around me. And I think about that all the time. When you see the smile on the faces of the poor, how could they be happy when there is so little that they have by our standards? But by their standards, there's a warmth, there's a sincerity in their lives. And where does that come from? It comes from the love that they feel all around them. I'm not saying we should all strive to be poor and to be out on the streets and really go out there and become rescue mission cases. I'm saying that there is a reason for wealth. There is a reason for those goods and services. They are not to be amassed, but they are to be used. The whole purpose of money is a tool. It's a tool to do the things that you want to do. And sadly, many times we think that that becomes the purpose for our lives. Jesus comes in no uncertain terms and tells us, I have come to preach the good news to the poor. What is the good news? That there is something greater than all of the wealth that you see on this world. And if you want to know the truth, I think we had a big wake-up call this last couple weeks, certainly this last month, with the crumbling of the economy, not only in America, but throughout the world. It's basically to say that that's not what this is all about. The next passage, Jesus goes on, he says, I came to proclaim release for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. Now, who are the prisoners? The people in jail? I'm going up to San Luis Obispo Men's Colony this week to see one of the prisoners, to visit with him. And certainly when I'm there, I'm going to be looking around at a lot of people inside of this gated community. You know, no. Not those gated communities that you pay millions of dollars to live in. This is a gated community you wouldn't even think of spending, or you would never want to be caught dead in. And here are our society's failures living in these gated communities called prisons. And we call them prisoners. Who's Jesus talking about? Set free the prisoners? What does he mean? Let's go and open up the gates? No, certainly not. He's talking about the prisoners, you and I. You see, we are prisoners of a different kind. We sit around and we feel bad about our lives in ways that are not understandable for people who don't have those lives. We complain. We have much, but it's never enough. We've become prisoners of our circumstances. We've become prisoners because of our fears. We're scared to move forward. We're scared to build relationships. We have relationships that have messed up. We've gone through divorces. We've had family members. We've had loved ones who have died. And we are now scared to begin new relationships. Well, what is that fear, if not a prison that we've built for ourselves? We're consumed by our sins, things that we've done in the past. And we say, oh, that is so bad. I've had an abortion in the past, and now I have to deal with that in my life. How am I going to deal with that? How could I stand up and look at life? I've done so many evil things in my past. I've even gone ahead and I've stolen from people that I would never think that I would. But I've been unfaithful in my life to my most sincere people, my loved ones. How can I deal with that? And the list goes on and on and on. We are prisoners of our past. We are prisoners of our fears. We are prisoners of the goods and services that we buy. We are prisoners of materialism. And what does Jesus come? He says, I have come to set you free. Wow. Give us a key and we'll open up that prison cell. Well, where is that key? Every Sunday, the Holy Communion, the Holy Eucharist starts it all brand new. He says, I give you my body for the forgiveness of your sins. Take this and drink of it. This is the blood of the new covenant for the expiation, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do you know what it means that every Sunday a Christian has this opportunity to begin anew, to put the past to one side, to basically open up the prison door and say, I'm going through that prison door. I don't care. There's nothing going to stop me from my freedom. Jesus has come to give me my freedom. And certainly he says this here. He says, I came to give recovery of sight to the blind. Well, who are the blind? People who don't have eyeballs? Yeah, they're definitely blind. But how about us who do have the eyeballs, who have eye sockets filled with these nerve endings that could see all the beauty around us, but instead we choose to see the dirt around us, to see the evil. You say, what are you talking about? I look at beauty too. When's the last time you just rolled down your windows in your car and took a look at all of what God has given you, at those beautiful trees? Take a look at those birds. When is the last time you took a look at a feather and realized with all the science and all the know-how that we have in this world, all the technological advances, you and I cannot create not even one feather, a little fingernail on a baby's hand cannot be created. It is the wonder of God. And Jesus came to say he's giving recovery of sight to the blind. You and I are blind. And he's opening our eyes to say, life is beautiful. Don't get discouraged. Don't get down. Life is beautiful. And it's all around you. Take a look. Take a whiff. Smell that beauty. Smell that freshness that is all around you. And if it does smell bad, if it does look bad, realize that you have an opportunity to really look beyond that dirt and find that beauty, because it is there. And if enough of us do that, maybe we can basically put aside these evil or the dirt and the filth that most of the world is consumed with. Isn't it a wonder that the news is just so consumed with all of that negativity? We hear about the millions of people every day. We never hear about the millions of people every day who make it home. What do you hear on the news? You hear about the one person who's had the accident. On the 405 freeway today, we have an accident. They don't tell you that millions of people took the 405 freeway and got home safely. That's not news. And we are conditioned to look at that negative stuff. We are conditioned to be blind. Jesus is opening our eyes. He continues to say to let the broken victims go free. Now, after all of this, do I need to tell you where you're going to look at for the broken victims? Where you're going to look at the people who are hurting? Isn't that you and me? Aren't we all hurting? Haven't we all been slapped in the face a few times too many? Haven't we all really had some rough times in our lives that we need to get over with? And when we look at it in terms of Christ, being this incarnate love, coming from heaven and spreading that love, and not only being slapped across the face for that, but being nailed to a cross and having every last bit of his blood drained out of him until there is no life left in him. Doesn't it put our difficulties in a different perspective? That if love can be tortured so much, how much more easy it is for us to understand our tortures and our sufferings. Yes, we are going to suffer, but Jesus says, I have come to give the broken victims their freedom, to let them go free. You can be free from all of the things that take place in your heart, all of the things that take place in your mind. To me, this passage that Jesus spoke set the pace for what his mission in this world would be. And as he left this earth, he turned to his disciples and he turned them into apostles. In other words, ones who were now going to go. At the beginning of his ministry, he said, come to me. At the end of it, he said, now go. And he sent them out into the world to be his body. And therefore, the apostles, hence the apostolic church, has only one single mission: to continue the mission that Christ began. In other words, our mission as a Christian church and as Christians individually is to announce the good news to the poor, proclaim release for the prisoners, and give recovery of sight to the blind, to let the broken victims go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That is our mission. And that is a mission that we need to take seriously. It is a mission that I believed in on that first Sunday when I did my first Divine Liturgy, when I celebrated it with my loved ones and with my friends. And it is the mission that I keep thinking about every single Sunday when I celebrate it. But I have to tell you, it wasn't until this year, 2008, when I had a chance to attend the ordination of a couple priests back in May. And this is what really hit me. It was at that ordination service in May. And I had been to, I would say, 3 or 4 different ordination services, but I've never picked this up. But it was at that ordination service in May. During the Divine Liturgy, the gospel was read. And it was this gospel! And quickly I went to the books to look at the ordination service to see what's going on here. Did it just happen to be that on that particular day that was the gospel reading, that was the lectionary? No. Our church fathers have put this passage in the ordination of the priest's service, in that sacrament. In other words, our church fathers have pointed us in this direction, that this is your mission as a priest. You need to continue the mission that Christ has called you, that he came to do and has called you to do. And we came full circle. I now understood that there are no accidents, that God does call us in a unique way. God does touch us and he does talk to us and he tells us, this is my mission. And you better listen to it. Because that mission that is his is definitely yours. It lets you find that peace. It lets you find that love.
I listen to my words, but they fall far below. I let my music take me where my heart wants to go. I swam upon the devil's lake, but never, 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 I'll never make the same mistake. No, never, never, never.
That That was Cat Stevens, The Wind. That wind blows, and sometimes it blows some sense in your head, and sometimes it just blows the sense out of your head. But anyway, isn't that the case these days when we're listening to these politicians telling us where they're going to take this country? I think a lot of times we forget that that's what they are, is that they are politicians. And they're certainly very nice people, good people. They can be good people. Certainly, we make them out to be villains because we don't want this person or that person. But I think a lot of people have good intentions, and sometimes those intentions go wrong. Today we're seeing politicians fighting for the presidency of the United States of America. And certainly the rest of the world is looking on with some bit of amusement, but is also wondering what's going on. What's interesting is the religious world. This election, out of all of them, has really sparked a lot of religious debate and certainly conversation. And this has been something that we've been pretty much exploring at our Questions in Faith seminars that take place every Wednesday evening in the Glendale area at the Youth Ministry Center. We've been having these Bible studies, Questions in Faith, we call them, because it's not just being fed to you, but actually challenges people to question their faith. And certainly at a time like this, it's important. Like, we talk about what the church or the Christian, certainly today's podcast was dedicated to what the Christian's life is about and what our mission is. Now, does that need to cross over into our everyday life? Well, certainly, if we believe that God is someone that we only wind up on Sundays, then forget about any religious implications to anything. But in our faith, that God has to be alive every day, has to be with us every day. And so we explore that, and I invite anybody who's in the Los Angeles area to come and join us Wednesday evenings from today until Election Day, when we look at the different candidates, at the different expressions of faith that they have. Like, for instance, to say you're a Christian and to talk about war, or to say that you are a Christian and talk about taking from the rich. How about giving to the poor? Is that a Christian? Is that a Robin Hood? Well, there's a lot of stuff we could talk about on this podcast, but I'm not. Instead, we'll invite you to come over and join us at the Youth Ministry Center. We're located at 632 West Stocker. And I say that because I'll give you the zip code, too. It's Glendale 91202. We've been getting a lot of requests for ways that people could help out with this podcast. And we have some specific ways that you can. We do want some computer upgrades, system upgrades, and those are going to cost right around $750 to $1,000. If you're inclined to make a donation in that respect, please let us know. If you'd like to just donate and say you're doing a wonderful job, we'd take any kind of donations. But how about just to let us know that you're out there listening, and give us some of your thoughts. You could drop us a line at feedback@apostle.net. We've had requests for our CDs. Our CDs are a new phenomena thanks to a generous donation from Steve Bedrosian. We have CDs that are available to everybody, just basically for the asking, these podcasts on CD. But I don't want to encourage that so much, because some of the exciting things about the podcast is that we are accessible anywhere. You can get us on iTunes. You can get us wherever there is an internet connection by going to epostle.net. And there you'll see not only this broadcast that you're listening to, but every broadcast we've ever done. And you just press on the button, and you know, what a miracle. It's coming over your speakers. And press on your right-click button and just download it right to your hard drive. And then you have that next step anytime you want it. And if you want, well, go ahead, burn it on a CD. We're giving you even that right to do it. So go ahead and do it and enjoy it. Get the word out, because I think that there's a message here, a message of hope, a message of peace, and most of all, a message of love that should be shared. We're going to end today's podcast with a little musical selection. This is by Ludwig von Beethoven. Yes, Mr. Orthodox himself. Those of you who have been listening this last few weeks know that we've been having some fun talking about orthodoxy beyond the theological ramifications of the word, talking about art and certainly music. And here's a piece called Moonlight Sonata. Not so much a musical request that we had this week, but a request for a prayer from a listener in the Burbank area. So here is John Belazikchan playing Ludwig van Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. Thank you. Well, whether it's Bilezikchin or Beethoven, it's just basically taking whatever God has given you and turning it back and giving it back to God. That's what it's all about. So, how about a thought for the week? That whatever God has given you, take it, process it, and turn it back. Give it back. And those are the things that last. Those are the things that will outlast any of your retirement accounts, your trusts, stocks, and bonds. Pretty simple, huh? Well, I hope you will join us again next week when we will continue these thoughts. But for right now, I want to remind you that you got to put December 18th on your calendar. That's our big kickoff for the new Spirit album by Gor Mkhitaryan that's going to be taking place at Zipper Hall. And we just now got flyers. So on our website, we'll have some promotional material up in a few days. And again, I want to remind you, go to inhisshoes.org to find out about all the exciting things that are taking place. Check out epostle.net where you can find this podcast as well as all the podcasts we've done. And, of course, the deal is always there. You make it to church Sunday morning at the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and you can pick up the podcast on CD. It's there for the taking. Or drop us a line. In any case, it's been a pleasure to be with you. I hope you enjoyed today's next step. We look forward to seeing you again next week. For Susie, our producer, and for Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin. Looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.